Radio.
So we're back to Barrack Sock right here on DVRadio.net. We've got Mike Guardia. Did I say that right?
It's actually Guardia, but that's okay.
Guardia. What did I say? Okay, anyway. Garden Light. Anyway. Okay. He is co-author, is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Of How More on Leadership, When Winning Outgunned... Winning When Outgunned and Outmanned. I'm sorry about that. So you co-wrote this with Lieutenant General Harold G. Moore. Really quick, tell us who that is, and then tell us your military background and what you're doing today, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, Bo. Well, Hal Moore, he was the commander of American ground forces at the Battle of Ai Drang, and that was the first major battle between the U.S. Army and the People's Army of North Vietnam. This battle was famously portrayed in the film We Were Soldiers. And if you recall in that film, Mel Gibson played the role of Hal Moore. Moore also wrote about it together with Joe Galloway in the book We Were Soldiers Once and Young. And he is the closest thing to royalty in America's Army today. And as far as myself, I am an armor officer by trade. I was a tank commander for 6 years, served on active duty from 08 to 2014. And since 2014, I have been cooling my heels in the Army Reserve, doing on average one weekend a month and 2 weeks a year. I'm currently serving as a company commander. And aside from my service as a citizen soldier, I am a full-time author.
Wow. Your hands are full, it sounds like.
And I'm also and I'm also the daddy to two wonderful girls.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Well, it's a pleasure to have, you know, you're the closest to royalty we've had on, except for Mike Tonto from Benghazi. So congratulations there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you're doing a couple weekends a month and all that. But why did you get into this? How did you get started?
Well, I always had a particular fascination with the military and always enjoyed reading stories about war. Right around the time I commissioned as an Army officer, I of course, started reading a lot more. And if I were to wind the clocks back to 2002, that was when the film We Were Soldiers came out with Mel Gibson. And I was lucky enough to see it on opening night when it came out. And I was blown away because it was the first Vietnam War picture that I had ever seen to portray the Vietnam veteran in a positive light. I mean, if you take a look at everything that's been taken out of Hollywood, it's been pictures like Apocalypse Now and Full Metal Jacket, and they all have
absolutely. Unless you go all the way back to the 60s to John Wayne.
Yeah,
that's a good point. You're right.
Yeah, so I was totally taken in by Hal Moore and really the whole story of the Battle of Ai Drang. And in the years that followed the film's release, you know, I read We Were Soldiers Once and Young, and I also read follow-up book to that called We Are Soldiers Still. And I went looking for a biography on Hal Moore, and I was surprised that I couldn't find one. I'm like, man, somebody has to have written something about this guy. That's when I got the idea to try to take up the project on my own. Ended up contacting him, contacting his family. They gave me their full blessing to pursue it, interviewed Moore at length, spent about a week with him at his home back in Alabama. And that biography, Hal Moore, A Soldier Once and Always, came out back in 2013. And as I was going through a lot of my notes on the book, I was thinking to myself, you know, I probably have enough on hand to write a book about his leadership principles. So I floated the idea to his son, who's a retired Army colonel. And he said, well, Mike, you know, it's a good thing that you contacted me when you did, because I was going through Dad's computer and I found the outline of a manuscript he was working on for all of his leadership principles. Now, Dad is old at this point. He doesn't use a computer anymore, and he's not interested in doing this book. But if I give it to you, is it something you want to finish? And I said, Steve, heck yeah. Please send it to me. I will finish it. I expanded that outline that he started put in everything I had for my interviews, some excerpts from the speech, and the result was Hal Moore on Leadership, and been doing great things ever since.
That's awesome, because the last time, you know, growing up, I read, I used Patton's Principles as a little kid, as some of the books I read and liked a lot. So I think with this current generation, there's a void. I think that's awesome. So where are you at with that, or has that already come out?
Yeah, that was actually published about a year ago this month. And it has been doing great things. It's been incredibly well received. It's gotten some great reviews. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the gentleman named Jocko Willink. But he is the Navy SEAL, and he's the best-selling author. Yeah, he actually featured the book on his podcast, and it was an incredibly gratifying experience for me just to see how much everyone out there can benefit from Hal Moore's Principles of Leadership. And I'm really grateful to the Moore family for giving me the opportunity to take the project across the finish line.
Getting a little off track, you're this famous author now. It must be crazy walking down the street, you know, privacy and stuff, and don't get your autograph. But no, in all seriousness, though, you got out as an O3?
I did.
You did. As an officer, or just as a prior service military member, getting out, what were some of the difficulties you had adjusting after being in for 6 years maybe that you encountered, conquered, or maybe that you still struggle with that can relate to people listening?
Well, first and foremost, I think the biggest adjustment that I had to make was that every time somebody asked me a yes or no question, I always caught myself saying either Roger or negative.
And, there's nothing wrong with that, especially when you don't want to carry on a conversation with them.
And that is a struggle that I still have to this day. Anytime somebody's in a conversation with me, you're bound to hear a few Rogers or negatives in there. But all joking aside, I think one of the biggest things that I had to adjust to was trying to keep myself occupied with what would be called a slower pace of life. Because I think it's
part of the story. Oh my God, thank you. You're the first person I've had on say that. I fucking hate that. Yes, continue on.
Yes. Because I mean, especially in today's military, you know, with all the conflicts that we have still ongoing, you know, pretty much every conceivable part of your day, every waking hour is occupied with some type of activity or some type of metric that you have to do. And, once you transition back into civilian life, I think no matter what civilian occupation you ultimately take, the pace is a lot slower and you have to deal with, some levels of anxiety, really trying to keep yourself occupied and trying to tell yourself, okay, this is a different line of work, so I shouldn't feel as compelled to find something to do, if that makes any sense.
It kind of does. But just that analogy of comparing military to civilian life, that hit home. I'm learning that with running a rehab too here. I don't know if you're familiar with it. One of our charities that we created was a rehab for homeless veterans. You know, what I expect, you know, what I'm capable of and what I expect and what actually happens are two different things. I'm going to learn that, you know, people in recovery are learning to adjust back to work again and stuff like that. But that's just like civilian life. You know, it's okay. He, you know, wrecked the company truck. Stuff happens. You don't need to use that kind of language, Mr. Rivers. Fuck, what are you doing? But, so you obviously that's kind of funny that you say that. And then you're also a writer because I would imagine that you have your own deadlines. It's a lot of work and it can consume you into all hours of the night, I would imagine.
Yeah, I try to cut everything off by about 2100 every night. That's always a deadline for me. And, you know, it's also something that I balance against being a daddy to my little girls because I have a 4 and a 5 year old. So they also keep me pretty busy.
Well, and as you can tell, I bounce around from topic to topic here, or, you know, or we would be just like a regular radio station, but, If you could, can you tell me something about, tell us something about the general that a lot of people don't know about, that's something you gleaned?
Yeah, I found that he was really the perfect balance between, he was the perfect balance between being hard and being tender, because here was a man who had fought in two wars. I mean, unbelievably hardcore to the bone leader. He commanded respect wherever he went. He had a history of turning bad units into good units, and he had a history of fighting and winning when the odds were stacked against him. You know, this was the type of guy that I think most military leaders would strive to be like. But at the same time, he was very unpretentious, and he was just incredibly friendly. I mean, one of the most pleasant guys you would ever sit down to have a conversation with.
And then he's a stone cold killer. So what do you think is going wrong in today's military? Why don't we have more of these? I'm sure we do have these leaders, but from running this, you know, I've been out since 92. And the personal experience I have had with former employees that were NCOs and officers and stuff, I've had good ones and bad ones. But it just seems like lately that, you know, the military is struggling to produce good quality leaders. And there's a lot of units. So you keep hearing that word thrown around a lot, toxic leadership. And it's magnified with social media. Mm-hmm. Where are they going wrong?
Well, I say this with a guarded tongue, but I think one of the trends that needs to be addressed is that we tend to tolerate toxic leadership as long as they get results, as long as they meet metrics. That I think is a pretty dangerous mentality. And again, I'm saying this with a guarded tongue. But when I take a look at my own experience, is that no matter how talented you are, no matter how good you are at managing systems, you're not irreplaceable as a leader. There's always someone who can meet the metrics just as good or even better than you can. And what your followers are going to take away, you know, I mean, after they scatter to the four winds, what they're going to remember about you as a leader, I mean, they're not going to remember what deadlines were met. They aren't going to remember what training schedules were executed. They're going to remember how you as the leader treated them, whether you ruled through inspiration and led by example, or whether you ruled by fear, intimidation, and metrics. And I think what we've gotten into the habit to, and you know, the same can be said for the civilian world as well, is that we tend to tolerate a lot of toxicity as long as the end state is met. And while the end state is important, it's only half of the equation. You have to know how to build the family environment within your organization to make sure you're maximizing all of your strengths and all of your assets within your people.
I gotta agree with you on that. I mean, I was in from 06 to, I was medically discharged in 2011, but there was a couple leaders that even though they got results, you know, and I hate to use the term babying or being, you know, the caring father, but that's what they were at the end of the day. They weren't the, you know, it wasn't that hard ass boot in the ass kind of leadership that a lot of people need, especially in today's world. You know, I mean, I had some hard ass leaders. I'm not going to lie. Boot, you name it. There was some up there guys that I was just like, damn, I'd hate to cross them in a fucking alley. But, you know, then there was at least two or three I could name off the top of my head that I was just like, yeah, you're getting your soldiers to do what you want. But at the end of the day, is that the right way to go about it? You know, saying, yeah, I'm going to hold your hand and we're going to walk through this minefield, but is that really the right way to do it? Or do you need to kick them in the ass and say, just fucking run? You know, I mean, my question is, because you said you quit at 2100 or at least tried to. I was up at like midnight that night. I got your email, and I think it was like 10:40 my time that I got your email. What made you want to come to DB Radio? Because you emailed us and you named off some of our shows, and I was just like amazed.
Oh,
I was
let
like,
me tell you, Mike, or sir, sorry, you made our you made our night. It was pretty good. I was like, you mean we have another listener? No.
Yeah, exactly. Because I I'd got that email and I was like, this guy's pulling my leg. I was like, this is not a co-author of Hal Moore.
Oh, I thought it was a scam. We had to do a Google search.
Yeah. We get a lot of people trying to be assholes and doing shit like that.
You were dropping names.
Yeah. I was like, no way. This ain't a legit thing.
Yay, the parrot's laughing.
Nice. But yeah, what made you, what prompted
why
you
did,
to,
why did you contact us?
To, yeah, contact us at DV Radio.
Well, I've been following DV for a while now, and I just really admire what you guys do. I'm very glad that there is a community out there, not only on social media, but, you know, also on the airwaves, where all the veterans from these recent conflicts and even conflicts that aren't so recent can get together and just discuss the issues that are on their mind without having to worry about being politically correct or worrying about whose feelings they're going to hurt. You know, just tell things the way they are, unvarnished, and also have a little bit of fun, you know, because this really, I think, is part and parcel to the camaraderie that only we military guys can share. I mean, nobody else really is going to understand it as fully or as intimately as we can. And, you know, being that I'm a military writer and I write mostly military stories, you know, I really think that taking the lessons from someone like Hal Moore is something that will echo and something that will take hold within the listener community here and also within DV. You know, just what we can do to try to make not only the veteran community a better place, but, you know, our fighting forces a better place, you know, try to inspire people through positive examples and positive leadership.
Lead by example. Yeah, that is sort of like what we try to do. We have a few principles. We're trying to nail it down. And like I said at the beginning of this phone call was that how we want to help you and take what we have and use that voice. You know, it's big in some areas, but help get the word out with other vets that are struggling, that are doing really good causes, can't get airtime, can't afford ads and stuff, and help promote them. And then the other one is, and this is big with Bo, he'll keep me on the straight and narrow, but like you said, to have a place to blow off steam, don't always, you know, get bogged down in all the serious issues. You know, you got to balance it. That's why they come here. So it's good to hear.
Yeah. You said that this book was published almost a full year ago. In that year, what have you got back as far as feedback from not just, you know, leadership, but soldiers or civilians that's read this book?
Well, the response that we've got has been overwhelming. I've read a lot of the reviews. I've read the reviews not only on Amazon, but in a lot of the publications that it's been reviewed in. And it has been universally well accepted. The general consensus that I've seen among all of the commentaries out there is that this is good old-fashioned practical leadership advice that isn't pompous, not arrogant. It's stuff that isn't too theoretical or, you know, something that involves a lot of cerebral thought.
And hell, they might even learn something.
Yeah, exactly. It's just good stuff to know. They're good rules of thumb that will help any leader in any organization. And the thing that got me about a lot of it was that, my goodness, it's so simple. You kind of have to stop and ask yourself, man, more leaders should be doing this intuitively.
Yeah.
And, I think the biggest piece of good feedback that we got on the book that was at the same time incredibly humbling was when Jocko Willink put it on his podcast. I'm just like, wow, you know, if somebody, you know, like the leadership guru himself will say, hey, this is a damn good book, man, I know we're doing something right.
Good. And I know they're asking, Bo, where can they, like, somebody's listening right now, they want it while it's fresh in their head, go get it. Where do they go?
Okay. Name of the book
and where can they get it at?
All right. So the name of the book is Hal Moore on Leadership. And it is available at Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. For the few books a million that are still open, you can also get it there. It is also available on Kindle, and it's also available as an audiobook. So if you're into Audible, or if you like listening to books on CD.
Now, what I found really interesting, and I've not been able to read a lot of this book. I'm not going to lie. You sent me a copy, but I just, when I got it, I've not had enough time to read what I wanted to of it. But you've got pictures in here, and what I was able to read, I'm a fast reader anyway, but even someone like Six, no offense, Six, or someone who's not a fast reader, they can get through this really quick. I mean, I'd already gotten through most of the first few pages within a couple of minutes before I had to continue editing.
I think what he's trying
editing.
To say is it's easy reading.
That's what I'm getting at, but is that intentionally, or is that the way that his leadership skills and principles came across while you were writing this book?
Well, I really think it's a little bit of both, you know? His principles and his philosophies, I think in and of themselves are very simple and straightforward and universally applicable, that it's really not a chore to write them at all.
Right.
Now, well, I look forward to reading it. I'm going to be ordering it today.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Guardia, co-author and pretty much an fucking hero when it comes to this book of How More on Leadership. I don't want to make it all about We Were Soldiers, Mike, but when you see Mel Gibson portray him back in Vietnam, and then you talk to him over 40 years later, how did that reflect? Was it pretty straight on? I know Hollywood has to add their, you know, spectacles to it, but how was that translated in real life when you actually got to talk to the man, even though it was, like I said, almost 50 years later?
Well, I was very favorably impressed by him. I think that Gibson did a great job of portraying Moore in the film. And Moore himself was actually very satisfied with the film. He said, I'll never forget this. He said to me, he said, "Mike, We Were Soldiers was about 75% accurate and 25% Hollywood." And, you know, by Hal Moore's standards, I think that that's a pretty good compliment. And he remained close friends with Mel Gibson right up until his death.
And that's a big thing for Hollywood. Like you said, that from even 13 Hours and a few others, you know, 75% on point, and then usually the 25% is Hollywood. But Six, what do you have for Mike?
Mike, do you have any upcoming projects that you want to let everybody in on?
Indeed, I do. Next? Indeed, I do. I actually have a children's book that is coming out right around November time, and it is a World War II version of The Night Before Christmas.
Well, you'll definitely have to come back on our show then around November and let us know.
Most definitely.
Any plans to offer coloring books for the our stepchildren in the Marines?
Well, you know, that is a pretty good idea. I think I could do a good coloring book series, you know, featuring, I don't know, everything from Camp Arif John to the Hohenfels Training Center.
Hohenfels, yeah. Hey, real quick, and Bo can include this or not, but I'm just going to say a couple words. I'm going to rattle something off, and you give me first word that comes to your head. The VA.
Sure. oh, goodness, just one word? Okay. Good theory, good effort. Could use a little tweaking on the execution.
The media.
No comment.
All right. And Hillary Clinton. All right, Bowie Bergdahl. 2016. All right, there you go. Bowie Bergdahl.
Someone who is not a nice person in my book.
Okay. All right, I'll one more, and I won't get you in any more trouble. Chelsea Manning? Bradley Manning. Sorry.
Well, if he or she has figured out their gender identity in this non-binary world, then all the power to them.
Hey, it's been great having you on. Well, I'll let you wrap this up.
Yeah, Mike, like Six said, thank you for coming on. I'm going to finish this book one way or another, even if it kills me. Where can people
find... his butt off. He does.
Where can people go if they're interested to find more about your work or anything like that, Mike?
Well, if anyone out there wants to get a hold of me, they can contact me through my website. That is www.mikeguardia.com. And, you know, just a quick Google search of my name, Mike Guardia. That should be the first thing that pops up.
Awesome. Outstanding. Again, thank you for coming on. Like Six said, we'd love to have you back anytime, especially when that children's book comes out. Thank you. Thank you for the interview. Thank you for this book. And thanks for all you do with getting stories out there, brother.
Oh, brother, thank you so much for having me on the show. It has been my pleasure.
Yeah, it's been an honor. That was Mike Guardia, co-author of How More on Leadership, Winning When Outgunned and Outman. Go get it on smile.amazon.com. Make DB Farm your charity of choice while you're at it. And right after you do that, you can go and check the rest of this podcast out, Barracks Talk. It'll be posted on podbean.com, DB Radio Network, or you can search for us on iTunes, Google Play, and all of your other podcasts, more than likely. This is Barracks Talk. I'm Boner Wood. That was DB6 and Mike Guardia. Thanks for listening.
DB Radio.